Now back to the Arrowhead Pride Tailgate Show. Driven by Aristocrat Motors, Kansas City's home of luxury automobiles for over 50 years. Here's Pete Sweeney and Kent Swanson.
Welcome back into the Arrowhead Pride Tailgate as we build up to the Minnesota Vikings coming into Arrowhead Stadium to take on the Kansas City Chiefs. As we've been saying all morning, Matt Moore is your starter for this game. So the Chiefs will have their second game in a row with Moore from beginning to end. And you have to have more confidence this week, given the fact that Moore was able to go front to back and get some film out there. Andy Reid can work with him. Some of the other storylines we're talking about today is which Chiefs skill position player will step up in this game. Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Sammy Watkins, Mecole Hardman, LeSean McCoy. McCoy has had these two key fumbles and a few losses for the Chiefs, so you wonder if McCoy can make better of it. We had Dylan McCullough, the running backs coach, and Eric Bieniemy, who has that running back coach background, at the podium this week. And Bieniemy admitted that the way that McCoy carries the football is not ideal, or it doesn't feel good watching. If you're a running backs coach, it would drive any running backs coach mad in the nation, an offensive coordinator. I look for McCoy this week. If he is going to get the start with the Chiefs, I wonder if he's a little bit more tucked than he has been. He typically, in his long career, he's 31 years old, has held the ball away from him his entire career, and it's worked. And he's managed not to fumble all that much. But again, two key fumbles here. I also look to Mecole Hardman in this game. Hardman showed last week that he is extremely talented. He earned a nickname on social media called Jet. He's embracing that. One thing he said this week is that he's going to try to have a touchdown dance in his pocket. If he is able to score a touchdown with his new nickname that he enjoys, if you have the cheetah, you have to have the Jet nickname for another fast player on your team. So Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and Sammy Watkins are the other players that I'm watching to step up in this game. And I think the other thing you're looking at is, can the Chiefs prevent a guy like Dalvin Cook, who has been so good this year, among the best in the NFL, from ruining the game? Just 1 week after Aaron Jones was able to compile 226 yards from scrimmage. And it's just something that I've been thinking about. How do they handle it? Steve Spagnuolo this week on defending running backs and Dalvin Cook in particular.
Yeah, first of all, a guy got to do a better job as a coach not putting those guys in that tough situation. You know, last week we made an adjustment at halftime. If I had to do it over again, I would have made a different adjustment. I'm not going to go into the details because I don't want to tell the next team what we're doing. But I wish I had done a better job with that. I didn't feel good about what the linebackers had to do in those particular situations, and that's not totally their fault. But it is the same challenge. You know, we've got some things we've thought of, somewhat changed, but I do believe it begins with, when you have a dual threat like that, is first concentrating on the run. If we could get them in a one-dimensional game where they've got to throw it, that'd be nice. It doesn't happen with this football team because they're committed to running the football. But we'll find ways to maybe not put our guys in that kind of situation and try to find a way. This number 33 is a good player. We've talked, when we first did our game plan meetings, we talked a little bit about the next opponent on Tuesday. He was the first guy we talked about. Now, we're not going to forget about the quarterback and the great wideouts they have and all that, but I think he makes it tick.
Dalvin Cook leads the league in yards from scrimmage. It goes Cook, McCaffrey, Fournette, Chubb, and Thomas. 1,116 yards, a huge challenge today.
Yeah, it's a great start for that guy. And his thing is, he's not been able to stay consistently healthy throughout his career, even in college some. So the fact that he has to this point shows you know how good he's able to be when he's at full strength.
So we are just under an hour from this game coming up at noon Arrowhead time. Vikings Chiefs right now. Let's go out to Vern, who's at Arrowhead Stadium. Vern, how are you feeling today about this game?
Feeling about the game per se. I'm interested to see what Andy can do, because obviously last week everyone felt better about today's game because of the performance against the Green Bay Packers. My big question is Andy going to be as creative today? Because I think it's going to take that once again. If you're going to have the kind of offense that I believe is going to be needed to walk away with a win, can Andy show as much as he did last week? Is it wise to show that creativity at this point of the season? Along with Andy, Matt Moore, can he be as good as he was last week? Look, the reason why you were in that game against Aaron Rodgers was because Andy's greatness was evident and Matt Moore was solid. Can they each improve this week? I think that's going to be a tall task.
That's the voice of Vern of Show and Vern Fame. You can catch him 10 to 2 during the week. Vern, you're at Arrowhead Stadium right now. We know that Patrick Mahomes will not start in this game. It's going to be Matt Moore. Again, Chad Henne behind him, but it looked like from Twitter and so on that Mahomes was working out. What were you able to see so far out there?
Yeah, if I didn't know what had happened a few weeks ago, if this was my, you know, I descended upon Arrowhead and I would think he was the starter. It's difficult to read with him as well because his arm is so incredibly powerful that he looks better throwing off his back foot than anyone does setting, throwing properly. He looked like Patrick Mahomes going through warm-ups, looked very comfortable, was not favoring that right knee. The left ankle didn't appear to be a bother whatsoever. It looks to me from, 100-some-odd feet away, looks to me like he could go today if he needed him to, but the team is erring on the side of caution. And again, it lends credence to the reports that he'll likely return next week.
Yeah, I tend to agree with what the Chiefs are doing here. I don't think this is something that it's worth risking it because this isn't the playoffs. This is one game of a 16-game season. The Chiefs' future with Mahomes is more important than a single regular season start, so he should go next week. What else are you noticing out there? How's the environment? Is there an air of like caution and getting too excited today? Sometimes you can sense that as far as a buzz with the fan base of being able to come out with a victory today.
I think the buzz is what I referred to earlier, the good vibes that came out of a third straight loss at Arrowhead. The good vibes that came out of that somehow have carried into today. I do think there's a sense of optimism. There's also a huge sense of Vikings fans in the parking lot around the city going to be at the stadium again today. They really turned out, maybe not as many as Packer fans last week, but it will be noticeable at Arrowhead. I think there's an excitement because what they showed last week highlighted the greatness again of Andy Reid. You saw Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. Chris Jones is coming back. The optimism with the defense is obviously picked up since that Packer game. So yeah, I think there's I don't want to say reticent hope, but there is hope. Maybe not we're going to scream about it, but we're going to walk around pretty confident today.
Vern, I'm a little jealous of you because my friend Steve's going to get to watch the game with you. How much food do you expect him, press box food I'm talking, to consume during today's game?
I imagine he's going to eat before he sets his bag down at his desk here in the press box. So there's one. He'll try to front like he didn't already eat, so then he'll go for round two me and Witkowski, and then probably two trips at halftime. So over-under right now, I would say, is a 3.5.
Okay, that's a good prediction. Wrapping up, when it comes to this game, what's your prediction? How does this play out?
Man, I want to take the Chiefs because I want to root for the Chiefs, to be quite honest with you. But I'm going to have to take Vikings 28-23, something like that. I didn't think last week was going to be close. I thought this was the game. If you were going to win one of these first two without Pat, I thought it would be this one against Minnesota. And Chris Jones, I'm trying not to put too much on his plate because I think that's kind of a setup, especially if they use him a little bit differently today because of the Frank Clark and the absence of Alex Okafor as well. I just have to think the weapons on the Vikings offense prove to outweigh, yes, the Chiefs have weapons and they have Andy Reid, but Matt Moore is that 5-point difference between these two teams.
That is the voice of Josh Vernier. You can catch him on Show and Vern. I'm sure he'll have plenty of reaction to this game tomorrow, 10 a.m., 10 to 2, on 610 Sports Radio. Thanks, Vern.
Thank you.
So there you go. Patrick Mahomes, at least in Vern's eyes, looks to be a guy who's ready to go.
It's crazy that.
But the Chiefs are being cautious. And I think this is what you want if you're a Chiefs fan.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy that they're to this point even. I think just flat out, it'll be like 25 days. If he comes back next week, there'll be a 25-day wait for him to come back and play from a dislocated kneecap, which I think is just ridiculous. The fact that he's been, you know, so active so far is just phenomenal. So hopefully they get him back, and hopefully that's kind of the start of a big home stretch run for this team.
Coming up in just a few moments, we will read your comments and questions live here in a AP Live mailbag. Text in your question 69306. You can also mention us at Arrowhead Pride. Matt Moore, the starter today, ready for this challenge of the Minnesota Vikings.
Great test. Great players, obviously, and they've been playing together for a long time. They've been in that scheme. They've been with each other, you know, all their communication. Extremely cohesive group, obviously, on defense, so that's going to be challenging, and they're very sound in what they do, and that makes us we just got to kind of be on top of our game and execute what we got going on, but very good defense for sure.
Not to spoil our premier picks, which comes at the end of the show, where we give the audience our exact prediction, how we see the game playing out, but man, it seems like there's a lot that the Chiefs have to overcome to win this game.
Well, there is, just like it was last week, you know, and I think it starts with Patrick Mahomes. I think any game Patrick Mahomes plays, they're going to have a chance in, but if you throw in all the other stuff around him, the offensive line is still not completely intact with Eric Fisher, Kendall Fuller not playing. Those kind of things do, you know, it makes this, Frank Clark too. Like, there's just a laundry list of things that this team is having
neck,
to overcome.
The neck of Clark.
A mystery neck that we don't really have a ton of clarity on. Like, there's a lot. There's a lot there to unpack, and it's going to be a big challenge for this team to win, and it's going to have to be an Andy Reid game to be an opportunity for them to do that.
There's a couple underrated storylines I'm looking at today. Like, if you're a matchup fan, Harrison Smith and Travis Kelce is interesting. Mm-hmm. How the offensive line does against Daniel Hunter and Everson Griffin. Can the Chiefs manage a player who is an all-star, pro bowler, future all-pro like Dalvin Cook? Oh, do they use more Mecole Hardman? 9 snaps last week, still got the 2 catches and a touchdown. There's a lot of things to watch in this game.
Absolutely. And the receivers for the Vikings, too, like Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs, both healthy. Massive challenges for this football team. There's a lot of storylines. There's a lot of question marks about this group and what they're going to be able to do this week.
Okay, get your questions in. It's the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line 69306. We'll read your questions, your comments, react to them on the air live coming up next. Plus, Matt Moore versus Kirk Cousins will break down the matchup. This is the Arrowhead Pride Tailgate presented by Aristocrat Motors.
The Arrowhead Pride Tailgate Show, driven by Aristocrat Motors. AP Mailbag. Send in your questions on Twitter to at Arrowhead Pride. Take it away, Pete.
Welcome back into the Arrowhead Pride tailgate as we get ready for Vikings and Chiefs Week 9 coming at you at noon Central Time. About 45, 47 minutes away. It's time for a live Arrowhead Pride Mailbag. Get your questions in 69306 or on Twitter, mention us at Arrowhead Pride. This one from Jerry. Frank Clark, a bad signing or a horrible signing?
Oh, let's just pump the brakes on Frank Clark a little bit. I think he's been playing hurt for the majority of this season if you watch how he plays, and I think he's done a really good job despite that. I think he's been really motivated to get out there. I still have a lot of belief in this player. Just give him a chance. I think he's done a pretty good job, even regardless of the issues that he's had.
I'm just confused by this neck injury. It didn't happen in the game.
It's mysterious.
He finished the game. And so I just continue to be confused by really all that has happened with Frank Clark.
Yeah.
Has he been playing hurt? Why isn't he on the injury report then? What is the deal? Did Brett Veach make a mistake? Did he know that he was going to be injured? I think there's so many questions that can come from this thing. I wonder how it eventually plays out. This from Bruce says, we're done today without Mahomes.
Well, then I guess you have a free Saturday.
Today's Sunday.
Or Sunday. I'm sorry. I guess you're just going to have a free day today because there's no reason to watch this football game at all. I guess you're just going to be one of the few people in Kansas City not watching the Chiefs play today.
Not that we're fantasy experts, Kent, but this question in from the Protein House, E with a Purpose text line, Kirk Cousins or Lamar Jackson today?
That's a tough one. I think
Lamar Jackson playing the New England Patriots on Sunday Night Football.
I think Lamar Jackson's floor is higher, and I think there's some garbage time potential for him if they get blown out, and I still think you've got to account for his legs running the football. It's going to be hard to take everything away from Lamar Jackson. They're probably going to try to take one thing away, so that's probably what I'd go with Jackson.
I would actually go with Cousins in this one. I think you saw some of the success of Aaron Rodgers last week. I just don't feel comfortable playing anyone against the New England Patriots right now. I feel like they'll get a turnover, and then that all of a sudden screws up your fantasy day. This, are you surprised that Darwin Thompson was inactive after the quotes from the running back coach?
I clearly am, Pete. I had him as a player spotlight. Yeah, I'm a little bit surprised by that. It's okay. It's understandable. Give him time. He's going to get an opportunity down the home stretch. They're going to need him. You need depth at running back position anyway, and there's some opportunities late in the season where he can make some plays for him.
That's a good point. You sometimes think about quarterback a little bit more in that manner, where you're the backup, but you can go in at any time. You always have to be ready. You always got to have the game plan. It's always got to be one of these things where in a second you can put your helmet on and the offense can't blink. But running back is like that too. The running back injury rate is so high. The Chiefs have been fortunate. LeSean McCoy pushed through some injuries. Damian Williams was out for a game. But more often than not, the Chiefs have had their full four guys healthy and ready.
Right. And that's not necessarily going to be the case moving forward. And I think any of the guys that they have right now, you can feel comfortable and confident in their ability to step in and make plays for this team.
Get your questions in, 69306, Protein House, E with a Purpose text line. What does Kelsey's final line look like today?
Let's go with eight catches.
Eight?
Eight catches.
Eight catches.
84 yards and a touchdown.
84 yards.
84.
Oh, man.
No more, no less.
I'm not going to go as high as eight catches. I'm going to say five catches, 61 yards, and I'll give you a score, too. I'm not going to go 84. What about Dalvin Cook? Give me the receiving yards. I want the rushing yards. I want the total touchdowns. Give me it all.
118 on the ground.
118.
43 in the air. Two touchdowns.
Okay, you have to go above 100 on the ground. That's reality.
Yeah.
You hope that the Chiefs can win even if Cook goes 100 on the ground. I'm going to say buck 40 on the ground.
Wow.
Through the air.
Another buck 40.
81.
Wow.
82.
220 yards, Peter.
Oh, my God. I know. It's not going to be good. And we'll say two touchdowns. It's going to be a good fantasy day, I find, for Dalvin Cook.
I had a good fantasy day for him. You have a nuclear fantasy day for him.
Did the Chiefs make a mistake by getting rid of Carlos Hyde?
No. I think they've got plenty of depth behind him. Regardless of him, they've got plenty of good guys in there, and running backs don't matter. You have them for 1 year, and they got 3 years of Martinez Rankin for him. That's a fantastic deal. Martinez Rankin is probably going to be in the picture for this team along the offensive line for the next few seasons.
We're getting ready for the Chiefs and the Vikings, but it's a London week, right? So you have the Texans and the Jacksonville Jaguars going at it in the fourth quarter. Texans are probably going to win this game 19-3. Looks like Gardner Minshew magic through an interception. But Carlos Hyde's line, Kent, 16 carries for 160 yards.
That's good. Good for him. Congrats.
And he just fumbled on the 2 yard
line.
The guy was in.
And then Gardner Minshew threw the interception right back to him, so they're right where they were.
The guy was in camp as a member of the Chiefs.
And everyone hated him.
I thought he was slow.
I liked him.
You liked him?
I liked him, but I'm glad they got 3 years of control of an offensive lineman for him. Bill O'Brien's stupid for making that choice.
That's the Arrowhead Pride mailbag. Quick point on running backs while we have it. Eric Bieniemy actually talked about some of LeSean McCoy's fumbles this week.
I'll say this. I think it drives every running back coach crazy in the country, not just here in this building. But LeSean has always had a unique way of carrying the football, and the beauty of it is that he really hasn't put it on the ground throughout his career. So he knows how to manage the football. He knows the importance of ball security. So when it's all said and done, we're expecting him to take care of the football and handle that You know, and I know he's had a little rough patch, quote unquote, but one thing I know about our guys, they're not going out there to play and make mistakes. They're going out there with the intentions of making it happen any way they can, but making it happen in the right way.
Can't you? Who starts at running back for the Chiefs today, you think?
I think it's probably LeSean McCoy.
Me too. I think
still,
so too.
I think they just come right back to him and give him that opportunity. So
I tend to think so as well. It's time now for the quarterback battle.
It's time for the quarterback matchup.
Here we go. Kirk Cousins coming into Arrowhead Stadium. He played college football at Michigan State. He's a fourth-round pick made by the Redskins back in 2012. In March of 2018, he signed a three-year, fully guaranteed contract with the Vikings for $84 million. Good for you, Kirk.
The jig right there.
In 6 years, Cousins is a career 40-39-2. And 14-9-1 in his past two seasons with Minnesota. Cousins was named October's NFC Offensive Player of the Month. And this season, he has 13 touchdowns and there's three interceptions. Cousins playing some really good football coming to the Chiefs game on Sunday.
Yeah, I think he's been exceptional this last month. He's done some really good things. After not having a ton of trust in him, Mike Zimmer did not really trust him the first few games of the year. There was a game this season where he threw the ball 10 times, Pete. 10 times. But they've kind of opened it up a little bit, and he's done some really good things. I think if the Chiefs can get pressure on him, they're going to be able to affect him in a way that he'll probably throw a couple turnovers to him.
This has been such a weird season for Cousins, where he had to like apologize to Adam Thielen. Stephon Diggs requests a trade, is in the doldrums. You're wondering if Diggs was this one-hit wonder type of dude. And then October comes, and Kirk Cousins had 1,262 yards, 10 touchdowns, and one pick. But I'm just not convinced this is the real Kirk Cousins. I mean, we've seen this before, and this is how he was able to get that fully guaranteed contract.
Kirk Cousins' big month came against the Giants, a banged-up Eagles team, Detroit, and the Redskins.
When you talk about banged up Eagles team, that's exactly what the Chiefs are today. They do get some people back. Chris Jones comes to mind, but they are ultimately one of these banged up football teams.
I think they have a little bit more health to them right now than the Eagles have in their stretches where their entire secondary was decimated. Now, the Chiefs' secondary just looks like it's decimated all the time because of the lack of talent, but Chris Jones back. I think these guys up front can affect Kirk Cousins, and they're going to have to if they're going to win this game.
On the other side, we know that Patrick Mahomes is not playing in this game, so we get another dose of Matt Moore. Matt Moore played college football at Oregon State, and it's why he is known as the Big Beaver in college, according to JP.
I refuse to accept that.
The Big Beaver. In his first starts in 2017 last week, Moore was 24 of 36 for 267 yards, two touchdowns, and for the most part, he was serviceable. This game against Vikings will be the Chiefs' hope, his final game of the season, as Patrick Mahomes will probably return to the lineup next week.
Yeah, Matt Moore, I think he did everything you can ask of him to win a game last week. Andy Reid probably should have been a little bit more aggressive in a few situations to try to steal a possession or keep a possession going. But I think if Matt Moore does the same thing he did last week, I think the Chiefs are going to be in a position to win. He did more than enough. Just let the playmakers make plays for you this week, Matt.
Kent, you're such a big pun guy. You did one by accident right there, saying that he did more than enough. So I'm proud of you for that.
Thanks, buddy.
Matt Moore,
just flows.
Matt
naturally.
Moore, to me, one of the questions I asked him before his initial start was, do you see this as a possibility where you can get a backup job or something more next year? Here, I just did it. and I think that he has. I think he's earned a role in the NFL next season.
I do too. And you see this happen every now and then with some of these older guys. They get one opportunity and it gives them a chance to extend their career for a couple seasons. And Matt Moore probably fits into that mold. The Chiefs have a couple really quality backup quarterbacks, aged veterans that, have been around and seen it all. And Matt Moore, you got the opportunity with Andy Reid to extend your career. And I hope you get a couple years moving forward.
And Matt, you don't want to be a backup, right? You want to be a starter next year. Okay. So go out there today and throw for six touchdowns.
Matt Moore could throw for six touchdowns this week. Pete,
and you'll be a Dolphin again next year.
He still would not get a starting job next
year.
Like, let's just be honest about that.
You could scout at the combine, and then you could go and be the starter for the Dolphins next year.
Yeah, why not?
Train Tua. That's your quarterback battle.
Mentor Tua.
Another note, the notes keep coming from Matt Derrick of Chiefs Digest. Here's a bit of a wrinkle. The Chiefs are running through warm-ups with Martinez Rankin staying at left guard and Andrew Wiley moving to right guard in place of LD.
So they're moving him around a little bit.
So
sounds like
we won't really know the starters until these guys line up.
I guess so. They're just keeping everybody guessing. Will they, won't they? Will Patrick Mahomes play?
This has, for some reason, been the Chiefs game as of late. They just don't want to tell you anything. I wonder. I have this theory. You sometimes use the phrase tinfoil hat theory.
Uh-huh.
I think Andy Reid just knows he's up against it, especially against these two NFC North teams, and says, all right, let's just make them spend any amount of time they possibly can doing something they don't have to prepare for, because that gives us an edge. I mean,
still
we mentioned
5 minutes. Exactly.
The Minnesota Vikings, they had a long break. We've talked about how successful Andy Reid has been after these mini buys and these bye weeks. They've had 10 days off before this game.
Yeah, they've been trying to steal a minute or two here or there. And teams do this all the time. They'll put stuff on tape, you know, in a blowout potentially, so a team has to prepare. Andy Reid, he's really good at misdirection on the field. And boy, is he playing a lot of misdirection off the field before the game even starts already.
I think going into this week, because we went out to practice a few times, Matt Moore was taking the first snaps, and again, it is in warm-ups. You're just getting warm for the full duration, but I think the Chiefs knew the entire week Matt Moore was playing.
Of course they did. And then Darwin Thompson wasn't going to play either.
Members, yeah. I feel like a pawn, or in the game of chess, I think I feel like I would be a queen. Real elusive, really could do it all. But I felt like a queen. They're using us. Get it out in the media that Pat Mahomes looks good. Pete, take this cell phone video. Make sure it gets to Minnesota so they have to prepare for Patrick Mahomes, yada, yada. And I played right to it. I was a member of the chess game.
They could have done it even a further step. They could have made it seem like Chad Henne might have started too. Like, they could have had a three-way quarterback, you know, mystery going if they had really kind of pushed, you know, Chad Henne a little bit too. Will he, won't he? I don't know.
You're right. It really could have been three-way. I'm happy that it was only two-way. Bishop, also another good chess piece. I also like the horse. Do they call it the horse?
I don't know. I don't know, man. I haven't played chess in years.
I feel like I'd be...
I play chess, I play checkers.
Okay. That is the case. When we come back, we will go out to Minnesota to talk to a member of the Daily Norseman. What the Daily Norseman is our SB Nation Minnesota Vikings website. So a lot of insight coming at you. It's Behind Enemy Lines, and it's next.
The Arrowhead Pride Tailgate Show, driven by Aristocrat Motors. Now back to the Arrowhead Pride Tailgate Show, driven by Aristocrat Motors, Kansas City's home of luxury automobiles for over 50 years. Here's Pete Sweeney and Kent Swanson.
Welcome back into the Arrowhead Pride Tailgate. Pete Sweeney, Dusty Likens, Ken Swanson bringing you to noon Arrowhead time. The Minnesota Vikings taking on your Kansas City Chiefs with Matt Moore at the helm. The Arrowhead Pride Tailgate's driven by Aristocrat Motors, Kansas City's home of luxury automobiles for over 50 years. Right now, we are joined by Christopher Gates of the Daily Norseman, our SB Nation Minnesota Vikings website. How you doing today, Chris?
I'm doing all right, Pete. How are you folks going over there?
We're feeling okay, getting ready for this Chiefs-Vikings game, probably like you guys in Minnesota. The Vikings started the year 2-2, and all of a sudden have ripped four games in a row off. What do you find to be the biggest difference here?
I think, honestly, the offensive line has really started to get it together. We had that loss at Chicago where the offense just basically did nothing for about 56 or 57 minutes. And, you know, Kirk Cousins was just getting blasted and chased all afternoon in that one. And I'm not sure exactly what changed between week four and week five, but ever since then, the offensive line has played markedly better, particularly Garrett Bradbury at center, who struggled the first 4 weeks and appears to have really finally started to get it at the NFL level here. So I think that's the biggest key for why this team has won four straight.
So we here in Kansas City, we're just watching from afar, right? So we see Kirk Cousins' games occasionally when the Vikings are on national television. We can see red zone, different things. Kirk Cousins seems like a guy who's always up and down. And I think a lot of us are looking at this game and wondering, okay, is this going to be the game where maybe the proverbial shoe drops? Do you guys sense that as far as Vikings followers and writers, that you aren't really sure if this is the real Kirk Cousins that led to what was the NFC Player of the Month for October?
I can assure you, as Vikings fans, and myself personally, I've been waiting 34 years for the other shoe to drop. There's like perpetual other shoe droppings happening in Minnesota. So we try not to get too hyped up because we just know that the inevitable is coming and our souls are going to get crushed.
This is like Kansas City.
In this particular case, yeah, we're nihilists, basically. It's really kind of awesome. But, yeah, in this case, I mean, Cousins, you know, they brought in the guys from Denver. They brought in Gary Kubiak and Rick Dennison to help fix the offensive scheme. And, you know, he's been one of the best play-action passers in the league over the course of his career. So they decided, hey, why don't we do that more often? And they're doing it more often, and it seems to be working really well. And you claim to your quarterback strengths is, you know, something that works. It's pretty amazing to see that after last year. But yeah, I mean, as long as the offensive line continues to perform and Cousins gets protected and stays upright and, you know, he gets the compliment from the running game, there's no reason to think this can't continue. But, you know, just the way people view Kirk Cousins, like you said, it's just perpetually waiting for, you know, that moment where he screws up in a big situation. And, you know, hopefully that doesn't happen. But, you know,
right.
So, yeah.
Stephon Diggs requested a trade earlier this season, but he too has been great lately. What do you make of his situation? Was he just in need of more playing time, more opportunities to work with the football?
I mean, the first few weeks of the season, the Vikings weren't throwing very much. I mean, week one, they played the Falcons, and they only threw 10 passes all game. And, you know, the passing game really didn't get going right away, and I think Diggs was just frustrated. I mean, he got the big contract extension a couple of years ago, so the Vikings obviously see him as a top-flight receiver. And he wanted to, you know, be targeted to the point where, you know, that was reflected. And over the past 3 weeks, he's caught 21 passes. He's got 7 receptions in each of the last 3 games. He's gone over 100 yards in each of the last 3 games. And, you know, some of that might have had something to do with Adam Thielen being on the sideline. But, yeah, he's started to step it up. And, yeah, I just think Cousins is looking his way a little more frequently. And, you know, he's drawing a lot of attention now.
I'm sure it's been fun this year watching Dalvin Cook and all that he could do. When you look at another team and what they are doing to prepare for this guy, how do you potentially stop Cook? Is it just impossible? Is he just that good right now compared to a guy like a Christian McCaffrey? Is that where we're at with Dalvin Cook?
I mean, a healthy Dalvin Cook is a difference maker. We said that all offseason this year. You know, his first 2 years in the league, he really wasn't healthy. He played 3.5 games in his rookie year before he tore his ACL, and he might not have been fully ready to come back last season, and that led to some of the other injuries he was dealing with. But, yeah, I think a healthy Dalvin Cook is one of the 4 or 5 best running backs in the league. I mean, he can do everything in the screen game, catching out of the backfield, running the football. And he might be the best back in the league at making something out of nothing, because we've seen a bunch of plays this year where it looked like he was going to get dropped for a 2-yard loss, and all of a sudden he does a spin move or sticks his foot in the ground. The next thing you know, he's 10 or 12 yards downfield. And it's just one of those things where if he's healthy and he's seen the field, it's one of those situations where, you know, a defense can do everything right and still not get him stopped, and, you know, just kind of hope you get him next time. But yeah, I think he's definitely a difference maker, and as long as he stays healthy, this offense is going to be continuing to improve and evolve.
We're talking to Christopher Gates, a writer for the Daily Norseman, our SB Nation Minnesota Vikings site, getting ready for this game, noon Arrowhead time, the Chiefs and the Vikings. So when it comes to the Vikings on defense, on the other side of the football, we know that Matt Moore is going to be the quarterback today, no Patrick Mahomes. Which of the Chiefs' skill position players, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Sammy Watkins, et cetera, what do you think is the biggest mismatch for the Vikings, D?
I mean, obviously, some of the Vikings corners have struggled this year, particularly Xavier Rhodes. He's been getting picked on quite a bit. I don't think he's necessarily shadowing number one receivers anymore. And as good as Travis Kelce is, Tyreek Hill's speed probably presents the biggest potential mismatch, because obviously there aren't many teams in the league that have a corner that can keep up with him straight speed-wise anyway. But, yeah, I think he presents the biggest problem for the Vikings as far as matchups are concerned, and hopefully they can at least do a little bit to slow him down this afternoon, or else it could be a long day.
How fun has it been watching the ends, Daniel Hunter and Everson Griffin, do what they do?
Oh, Daniel Hunter is just insane. I mean, he's in his fifth year in the league, and he just turned 25 earlier this week. It seems like he's been here forever, but he was the youngest player in the NFL when he was drafted, and yeah, he's just evolved. And you know, watching Everson Griffin after everything he dealt with last year, he's basically back to his 2017 form, where he was one of the best pass rushers in the league. And you know, it says a lot to about the Vikings coaching staff that they can take guys like this, because you know, Hunter was a third round pick, Griffin was a fourth round pick. He's been in the league for a while, but they can take these guys that aren't necessarily premium first round type guys, and they've developed them into some of the best pass rushers in the league. And yeah, that says a lot about Mike Zimmer and Andre Patterson, the Vikings defensive line coach.
Christopher, great stuff so far. Wrapping up with this, what's your prediction? How do you see this game playing out?
I think this is actually going to be a really close game, despite Mahomes not being out there. I don't think the matchup of Dalvin Cook against the Chiefs defense looks good for Kansas City.
Right.
I think they're going to try to get Cook going early, and if they can do that, it's going to open up a lot of other things. I think the Vikings are going to do just enough to get out with a win this afternoon, but I think it's going to be a close one.
All right, well, that's Christopher Gates. Again, you can catch his stuff if you're interested in the other side of it, DailyNorseman.com. We appreciate the time.
Thank you, Pete. I appreciate it.
Well, there you go. You could hear it in his voice when it comes to Kirk Cousins. Like, that's how fortunate we are in Kansas City to watch Patrick Mahomes and to have Patrick Mahomes, that you're not dealing with this quarterback anymore, where you're wondering, is he legitimate? Is he a actual franchise guy? No, you know that.
The fact that he's coming off the NFC Player of the Month award for, you know,
but you heard the,
for October, that reticence in the anxiety about him is just, it's kind of crazy to think about, but I get it. And Kirk Cousins, he's making a lot of money, a lot of guaranteed money.
I need to get what he's having.
He's getting paid like a franchise quarterback. I still don't believe in him. I think he's due for a stinker. Maybe it's tonight, or maybe it's today.
Speck and Joel, if you're listening, guaranteed money sounds good to me. Ooh. So if you ever send that message out there into the universe,
right.
Ken Swanson on at Ken Swanson's Twitter, Kirk Cousins is due for a stinker.
Yep. It might as well be today, Pete. It might as well be today.
I don't know if it matters with Cook. That's my only thing. I don't know if it matters.
I mean? I think the run defense has been a little bit better the last couple of weeks. I think there's some things that you should feel positive about with that. And if they can, you know, if they devote energy and numbers to the run game, you know, put it on Kirk Cousins. I don't hate that strategy.
One note also from Christopher that I found interesting is that the offensive line has been boosted. I guess it wasn't that good for Minnesota early on in the season. And if you're going to give Kirk Cousins some time and he can get in the hands of guys like Diggs and Thielen, that's just another worry. And Cook included in that too.
The outside receivers are, I think, if Cousins can connect with those guys, I think that's ultimately what decides this football game. Honestly, if Kirk Cousins can go and deliver some of these throws to these guys, that's really the cornerback position for the Chiefs is not a strength, despite what people say.
You could hear it, and I know this is true of every game, but it just feels like because Moore is starting instead of Mahomes once again, it is critical for the Chiefs to get off to a good start on defense.
Absolutely.
Holding them to a field goal, like last week, almost holding them three and out if it wasn't for the penalty. Like, I think that is going to be huge in just setting the tone. And again, I don't know what advantage you necessarily have at Arrowhead anymore, but get that place rocking right away. Right away, set the tone defensively.
Yeah, and the Chiefs have kind of, they've been slow starters on defense the entire season. I think Spags kind of plays pretty vanilla early to try to figure out what you're doing, and then from there kind of just make some adjustments. And you saw that last week too. Even though they got off the field initially and the penalty extended the drive, you saw them make some adjustments pretty quick. And and we're, you know, really rushing some, sending some blitzes with the linebackers and having a lot of success attacking the protections of the Vikings. And I think that really helped kind of slow them down and put them in a position to potentially win that game. But they got it. They got to start fast. They got to start fast this week. It's got to happen.
And you heard it in Christopher's prediction, if Cook can get going, like that to me is huge. And that's something Tyrann Mathieu talked about in the locker room this week too, was just hitting Dalvin Cook and making sure that your presence is known, letting the other team know, okay, he's not going to run all over us today. I think that's huge. And it's something you didn't really see with Aaron Jones. And I think that's why Jones got going and he never stopped.
Aaron Jones beat you in the passing game more than he beat you in the run game. And I'm more worried about Dalvin Cook when Cousins turns around and hands the ball off to him. I don't think he's as dynamic of a route runner as Aaron Jones is.
Right.
It's kind of a guy that's going to be able to catch the ball in space and just do work with it. So I don't think it's going to be the same kind of matchup, but yeah, the run game for him is where I'm most stressed about him.
So that is behind enemy lines. Looking at the clock here, we got less than 20 minutes till Chiefs-Vikings, Matt Moore versus Kirk Cousins. When we come back on the Arrowhead Pride tailgate, we'll play Win If, Lose If, plus our premier picks for this game. It's all next.
The Arrowhead Pride tailgate show, driven by Aristocrat Motors. Now back to the Arrowhead Pride tailgate show, driven by Aristocrat Motors, Kansas City's home of luxury automobiles for over 50 years. Here's Pete Sweeney and Kent Swanson.
Welcome back into the Arrowhead Pride tailgate, wrapping it up as we get ready for Minnesota Vikings at Kansas City Chiefs week 9, right after the game. Don't forget the Arrowhead Pride postgame show with myself and Jay Binkley, presented by 7th Street Casino, where it's at. You know that Jay's going to be firing off some takes.
Hot takes.
The guy loves a take.
From one Jay Beagley.
Loves his linebacker days from high school. Too. Yeah.
Keeping his own stats back in the day. I'm surprised you remembered them all.
14 sacks in high school.
Like the dollar, it's probably inflated a little bit since then, right?
Wow. That's some shade. Luckily, you don't have to be with Bink on the Arrowhead Pride postgame show presented by 7th Street Casino.
Luckily, jeez.
Things I'll be watching in this game, guys. Change the subject from Jay Binkley. Titan Travis Kelce, 160 receiving yards away from 6,000 yards in his career. If he does it before week 15, which he probably should, he'd become the fastest tight end to collect 6,000 receiving yards and 450 receptions in NFL history. Fastest.
Wow.
He's at the age of 30 years old.
Impressive.
Harrison Butker, some hot kicker stats. 1 point shy of hitting the 350 career points scored milestone. Butker's 349 career points ranked third in Chiefs history for most points scored by a Chiefs player in their first three seasons with a club. The great thing I think about Butker, just quick point on Butker, we don't really talk about him a lot, and I think that's what you want with the kicker.
That's
like
a good thing.
How much are they talking about kickers in Chicago right now?
Right, and he was a great ad by Brett Veach.
Every once in a while he'll miss one, but again, it hasn't been in a key spot where you're blaming it. On Harrison Butker.
And they got him for 5 years now, I believe. They locked him up to a long-term deal. It's going to be hard to rid of him, too.
Half a decade.
Congrats.
Following the defensive output of 9 sacks in Week 7, the Chiefs unit collected 5 total sacks in Week 8. By matching the output in Week 9, the 3-game stretch of at least 5 sacks, and again, tall task here with the offensive line of the Vikings playing good, but 5 sacks in each game would mark the first time a Chiefs defensive unit accumulated at least 5 sacks in 3 consecutive games since 1997.
Frank Clark said sacks come in bunches, and they've been right. They've been real hot lately.
Well, games don't come in bunches for Frank Clark at this point, so that's what's tough about that. Wide receiver Mecole Hardman, our final thing to watch, recorded his 4th career receiving touchdown in Week 8 versus Green Bay. With the receiving score in Week 9, Hardman would match wide receiver Otis Taylor's rookie record for the most receiving touchdowns in a Chiefs rookie's first 9 career games in club history. That's impressive.
It is impressive, and the Chiefs have found ways to use him. He hasn't had to, he didn't have to catch a ball behind the or past the line of scrimmage last week, and if he does that again, if he can score again from that, that'd be impressive.
That should not be a pass, by the way, but it is.
Yeah.
And whatever.
Matt
Moore can pad his stats.
Good for him.
Hopefully get some money. Here's Eric Bieniemy on using Mecole Hardman a little bit more this week.
Well, I'll say this. Yes. You always, when a player can come in and not play as many snaps, you always feel that, yes, you need to get them going in some type of way. But I will say this. We have a unique skill set of players. So it's hard trying to say, hey, let's get them all out here. We're going to get everybody 1,000 plays and everybody's going to be successful. One thing we do understand the importance of being a team. We do understand the importance of being a band of brothers that are all on the same journey together that's trying to accomplish a goal. So when your number is called, let's make sure we maximize that opportunity and make the most of it.
I tend to think we'll see more Hardman this week in some capacity.
Well, we also thought we were going to see more Darwin Thompson this week, and he's not active.
The AP player spotlight's inactive this week, so that's good on us. Woo! Good job by us.
Good job.
It's time now to play Win If, Lose If. Let's start with Win If. Let's see what we think.
The Chiefs win.
Here we go. Oh, there we go. Perfect. Kent, take it away. The Chiefs win this game if what?
If they can affect Kirk Cousins. I'm still not a believer in this guy. I don't think he's particularly good. I don't think he's worth a guaranteed contract. And I think he's a little bit afraid of some pressure. So if you can put a little pressure on him, affect Kirk Cousins, he will make mistakes and he will no longer be, you know, he will not get his defense of the NFC defensive or offensive player of the month off to a good start this week.
Our pal, our new contributor, Ethan Douglas, our analytics specialist for arrowheadpride.com, is going to hate this take. But the Chiefs just need to control the time of possession a little bit more.
Oh, God.
And Pete, play like other teams play the Chiefs.
Dusty, can you shut his mic off?
Keep long, methodical drives going. Long, methodical drives. First down, first down, first down. Maintain the football. Then you get a turnover or two. All of a sudden, it's a game here. I think the Chiefs are up against it today. They miss Patrick Mahomes. And it isn't because Kirk Cousins has outstanding a quarterback, but the skill position guys, to me, are a daunting task. So maintain that time of possession. That, I believe, is how the Chiefs win. Let's go to the other side.
The Chiefs lose if...
All right, Kent, what do you got, man?
Last week, I came here and I said the Chiefs lose this football game if they lose the turnover battle. And ultimately, losing that fumble by LeSean McCoy was what lost them the football game last week. It's the same thing this week. They can't turn the ball over. They got to be perfect. No interceptions from Matt Moore. No fumbles from anybody. They don't turn the ball over. Or if they turn the ball over, they're going to lose this game. It's just that simple.
See, I find this to be one of these days where you just have to prevent it from it being the Dalvin Cook show, where there's Cook and all these highlights and just everyone else is there, which I think it could very easily turn into. I worry about this player. I've been talking about him the entire show, where he just takes over this game, and every time he touches the football, the Chiefs just can't do anything. And I think if you can maintain that and make sure that he is just not running at will, then I think all of a sudden it becomes a football game. But it could get a little ugly if he gets going, especially early.
Yeah, and I'm not going to have the time of possession argument with you, but they do need to kind of... I think Dalvin Cook's really the thing that makes that thing tick, and if he does have some success, that's going to be a problem for this football team.
So that is a win if, win if, lose if. Another tweet we're seeing on the Twitter sphere from someone who's at the game, our friend His Dirkness, officially the most opposing fans he's ever seen at Arrowhead Stadium.
Gross.
Are we looking at a purple crowd today, Kent?
Is this going to look like a Chargers home game where the road team just out?
This from Sam McDowell of the Kansas City Star. Tons of Viking fans at Arrowhead already today.
That's you hate to see that. You don't like to see that. And they might have a good reason.
It's a quick drive from
it's not bad. Seven hours?
And I think, too, when you're planning now, and this is something you got to remember as Chiefs fans, when you're planning now, people are going to want to see their opposing team against Patrick Mahomes because he's the best quarterback. No one knew that would be Matt Moore today when they're booking this flight and either driving down or buying these tickets. You want to see the best. You want to see your team play the best.
My guess is this is a late purchasing crowd, so they saw what was happening.
You think it's late purchasing?
I think Chiefs fans probably sold their tickets to Vikings fans like late. Patrick Mahomes was playing this week, that the ratio would look like it is. I think a bunch of Vikings fans decided this last week or so that they're going to come to this game. I think that's just my guess because it's an easy drive. It's easy to get here.
From what you're seeing on Twitter, it almost looks 50-50 from this photo that Vahe Gregorian of the Kansas City Star put out. I mean, it is early. Not everyone is there yet, but...
His Dirkness again just said, stadium is not full, but it is literally 60-40 Vikings fans right now.
What is going on?
Ugh, this looks like a K-State home game.
So we talked about the Arrowhead advantage really not being a thing based upon record. This would be another step in the wrong direction for Arrowhead Stadium. But time now for our premier picks.
One last chance to guess wrong. Here's Pete and Kent's premier picks, driven by Aristocrat Motors, Kansas City's home of luxury automobiles for over 50 years.
You know, she always says that. Last time, you know, last chance to predict wrong. But try to be right here.
I'm on a pretty big losing streak here.
Kent, you had the Lee Corso moment last week where you took the Cheesehead mid-prediction.
Threw it in the trash.
Threw it in the trash. Are you sticking with the Chiefs this week?
No.
Oh, wow.
And maybe I'm
this,
a...
This
maybe,
Hulk Hogan bash at the beach moment.
Maybe this is a good thing because last week I had some optimism. I tried to provide a little bit of hope to Chiefs Kingdom and I predicted the Chiefs to win the game. I am picking them to lose and I hope I'm wrong. I'm already way down in the prediction ratings on arrowheadpride.com. I have nothing to lose. I'm just trying to provide some good juju, mix some things up, be a pessimist for this game, and hopefully that's enough for the Chiefs to win this game.
I've been playing in this football pool since I grew up. There's this thing where if you're toward the end, at the end, you could try to lose in the other direction. Last place gets their money back. I feel like we're working on something like that with you.
You're an intentional tank job from me.
My premier pick, by the way, premier picks brought to you by Aristocrat Motors, Kansas City's home of luxury automobiles for over 50 years. Forgot to say that. My premier pick today is, unfortunately, joining you in the dark side, Ken. I think the Vikings win this game. I always look at the quarterbacks. And that's always what I look at when predicting games. Not that Kirk Cousins, to me, is that much better than Matt Moore by a lot.
Wow.
But
that's some slander right there. Kirk Cousins get made $100 million guaranteed.
He's better. He is better. I will say,
but
he
by
is better.
Not much.
By not much.
Matt Moore was coaching high school
all
2 weeks
game.
Ago.
That's okay.
6 weeks ago.
I will say, listen, Kirk Cousins is better, but his weapons are what does the difference for me against this Chiefs defense. Still banged up, missing what was supposed to be their best player in Frank Clark, even though he hasn't been that this year. The Chiefs do get help with Chris Jones, but I just ultimately think it's too much, unfortunately, for the Kansas City Chiefs against the Minnesota Vikings. They're going to miss Mahomes. 31-23 is my final, and this game and the past few games, to me, Kent, have been a clear, I think, picture of just how valuable Patrick Mahomes is. I mean, you talk about the MVP of the National Football League, you see that value in games you don't have him.
If there was any question before that, it's been answered. The guy's exceptional. Kansas City doesn't understand how special he is, and I think they all think he's pretty special. This guy is a complete game changer, and it doesn't matter who the other 21 guys are on the field. If you have Patrick Mahomes, you have a chance to win a Super Bowl, and hopefully he gets back soon. Hopefully, imagine if the Chiefs pull off this game, the kind of momentum this team will have. Only 3 losses on the ledger. You probably get Mahomes. You probably get Eric Fisher back. Who knows what's happening with Frank Clark, but you could get very healthy very quick for the home stretch and really make a run at this thing. And I think a bye week is still in play if you win this game today. It's massive for this football team.
I think, too, you just keep playing. Like if you can somehow make this 1-1 this stretch without Mahomes, where you get this one, you never know what's going to happen tonight against Baltimore. Baltimore has looked pretty good. Maybe they get one against New England Patriots. Maybe something happens here where you suddenly can lose 3 games, 4 games, and be the first seed. I don't think that is out of the question either.
A little bit more pessimistic about that one. But
I wouldn't be. I would be if the Chiefs didn't play the Patriots. I think that all of a sudden it just becomes interesting. You never know.
Yeah.
You keep playing, and somehow the division gets back to you. I remember 1-5, 1-5, and the Chiefs won 10 games in a row. You never know.
And they're running the risk of being 5-4 here. This is a big game for this team, and they're obviously not at full strength. Hopefully you steal one. If you steal one, that's just massive. And I think the energy in that building changes. I think everybody gets really, you know, energized by a big win. And then the troops come in, you know, the big time with Patrick Mahomes potentially coming back and leading this team the last 8 games or 7 games of the season.
A note from our wonderful producer, Dusty Likens, Fox has already shown Patrick Mahomes once. So another 39 would tie last week's 40 times.
Yeah, we'll be on Mahomes' watch. We'll see how many times he shows up on the broadcast.
That'll be your thing today, Ken. I mean, we do task you. I call you the best Patrick Mahomes analyst in the city. No one watches more Mahomes film than Ken Swanson outside the organization than Kent. Maybe that's what you do today. You have a little tally an abacus or something, and you just count the times that Fox shows Patrick Mahomes.
How many times he scratches his head, how many times he leans over and tells the coverage to the guy next to him, how many times he's, you know, adjusting his earpiece. Yeah, we'll get some really good charting stats on that this week.
Flowy hair. I'm sure there'll be a couple memes for Patrick Mahomes. I mean, this is a guy, too, who has been helping Matt Moore. Matt Moore said, I mean, I love Mahomes' vision. And what's amazing about that is Moore is 35 and mm-hmm. Mahomes is 24. And it's for him to be taking advice from this kid just speaks to Mahomes.
I think what you've seen from Mahomes this year is just how cerebral he is, because he hasn't been fully healthy, but he's still been just picking teams apart. And I think that's what's so frustrating about the season is you haven't got to see Mahomes at full strength, being able to utilize those incredible movement skills while also showing the level of ability he has to process the game of football, because I think he's processing, or he was processing at a just rare level before the injury.
Matt Moore gets the start today again and playing for his career. We'll see how the Chiefs do and see if they can bail him out. Big game for Hill, Kelsey, Watkins, Hardman. Let's see how the Chiefs manage the Vikings, Thielen, Cooks, Diggs. It should be a good game for the Chiefs. Don't forget, after the game, this is big. After the game, we have the Arrowhead Pride post-game show with your calls. You'll get to hear from your Kansas City Chiefs, the Arrowhead Pride post-game show.
Baby.
You hear Jay Binkley already talking about the Big Beaver fired up. The Arrowhead Pride post-game show presented by 7th Street Casino. Thank you to Dusty Likens, Craig and Matt, our friend from the Daily Norseman, Kent Swanson, Dusty Likens, for everybody. My name is Pete Sweeney. Enjoy the game.
Has been the Arrowhead Pride tailgate, driven by Albright Buick GMC Cadillac on 610 Sports Radio. Join us as we take your calls on the 7th Street Casino Arrowhead Pride postgame show.
As well, Carlos.